Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, Calvary Church, and welcome to our brand new series for the month of September called Better Together, as our summer comes to a conclusion and we step into the fall together. Kids are finally back at school. We're starting to feel some of that rhythm come back. Some, but not all. We're still working on it. Today is also our kickoff, our fall kickoff of our new season of ministry involvement here at the church. And so I want to invite you to join us here on site at 11:30 for our after party barbecue. It's going to be great. We got a huge bouncer for the kids, and Popsicle Pop-Up is back for one more time as the season comes to a close. And so it's a great opportunity for you to slow down and to reconnect with old friends and maybe to make a few new ones as we return to church. You know, this fall has plenty of opportunities to serve on a ministry team or even get connected to one of our many Calvary groups as we kind of do life together in smaller groups. We're also excited to be kicking off a new Alpha course again for those of you that are new to the faith. It's a great course to help guide you through your understanding of Christianity as you learn to share your faith, as you learn to talk to others about Christ. And Team Night is finally coming back. We missed it last year, and so on Sunday, September the 26th at 6 p.m., we're going to be gathering here in the main auditorium. So wherever you volunteer in the church, from the kids department to the youth, from the worship team to our first impressions teams, everywhere and every person that's serving within the church, this night is for you. So I want to invite you to that on the 26th. We're looking forward to seeing you there. You know, Andy Stanley once said, what if we just one-anothered one another better? I love that statement. It's a statement that's always stayed with me. And so today, as we begin our Better Together series, that's exactly what I want to talk to you about in a message that I've titled One Another. You know, from the very beginning of creation, being alone was never God's plan. So God did something about it. He created community. He wired us for fellowship so that we could love one another. Now, one of the overarching recurring themes throughout Scripture is exile and return. And I think, interestingly enough, the pandemic has created a visceral, personal experience of what distance and loneliness, especially as it relates to exile, can feel like. We've all been going through this together. You know, connecting online has certainly helped. I think we would all agree. But the feeling of being scattered and disconnected is a very common feeling. It's something that we all know is very real. So what is community? Because in these moments where we're disconnected, we find ourselves longing again for a time when we experienced that kind of community, the strength that comes with it. Well, for Christ followers, community is really having meaningful relationships where we do life together by sharing, by serving, by praying with one another, by forgiving one another, and then together as a church, and even within smaller groups, passionately chasing after God together. You know, Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness." You know, in those 10 words, there's 3 references to God's unique character. God says, "Let us." He says, "Our image, our likeness." See, the words "us" and "our" are actually at the core of the doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, referring to the fact that God himself operates and exists in community. You see, the creation account provides us with this amazing window into the nature of God, in whose image we're supposed to be reflecting to the world. And so if God exists in community, then you and I are meant to reflect that community to the world that we live in. See, the need for relationship was part of God's creative plan from the very beginning. Genesis 2:18, God says, "It is not good for the man to be alone, so I will make him a helper suitable for him." So from the very beginning, the creator of the universe realized that it's not good for us to be alone on our own, that we couldn't live this life successfully. So he made a way for us to connect with other people in order to grow, in order to develop in our own spiritual development. And so having an understanding of the value of that kind of spiritual community is paramount in our lives. Now, many of you will remember a movie a while back called Castaway with Tom Hanks. Now, his character in the movie, Chuck Noland, he's stranded on this tropical island after a plane crash. And he's forced to kind of forget the way he used to live and now develop this new survival plan of how to keep himself healthy physically, you know, keep him mentally stable. And so we see that over this four-year period in his life, that all of those things are pushed to the limit. And so to keep his sanity, he creates a Maple Leaf person to talk to out of a volleyball, this Wilson volleyball that floats onto the beach from the wreckage of the plane. And he paints a face on it, and he sits it on a stump, and every day he talks to Wilson. That's the name of his new friend. Just to keep himself occupied, to keep himself feeling a little bit normal. Maybe some of you are talking to a volleyball these days. There's some challenging times that he was facing. Now, Chuck and Wilson faced some crazy storms together. They weathered those storms together. His Maple Leaf friend and he himself trying to navigate what he was doing in his own mind. And so then finally, the last ditch attempt, he puts together this raft and he takes Wilson and he ties him onto it. And they set out for their last hope to be rescued. And then another storm comes in, and this storm is so intense that it pretty much rips this raft apart. And in that storm, Wilson falls off the raft and bobs away. You can see him floating in the distance. And his only friend, Chuck's only friend, is lost at sea. And so now left for dead, depleted in his strength, in his own will, he's kind of passed out on a few boards floating in the ocean. And then by chance, a commercial freighter comes by and discovers him, or what's left of him, and they rescue him. Now this movie, Castaway, I think accurately illustrates our need for relationship and community, that it's been hardwired by God into our DNA since the very beginning. You and I, we are better together. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 10 says, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble." It's like our friend Chuck. We're better together, but we're in real trouble when we're left alone. Helen Keller said, "Alone we can do so little. Together we can do so much." That is the power of together. That's the power of authentic community. And genuine biblical community is where you can be your true self with a group of people. It's a safe place where you can share your accomplishments and your wins, your joys. But it's also a place where you can share your failures and the lowest points of your life with people that you love and trust. It's where we can show up in one another's lives in the high points and the low points, because there will be both of those and everything else that's in between. It's pursuing God. It's becoming the best possible version of ourselves, as our own spiritual development is shaped by the people that we interact with, even those that are difficult to interact with. God uses those relationships to help bring more of his nature, bring more of his love out within our lives. It's fighting the good fight with a group of people, not just fighting it on our own, but helping other people around us fight that fight as well. You know, before I joined the pastoral team here at Calvary some 16 years ago, Susan and I and our two boys, who were very young at the time, we planted a church in Toronto. And so there was our little community of faith, the four of us, in our living room. And in a handful of months, we grew to over 100 people meeting in a rented facility in a school. And you know what? These people we grew to love. We served together. We laughed together. We ate together. We cried together. Together we gave of our lives to serve and love a community. And we were honored to see the transformation in people's lives that only Christ can bring. It was wonderful. And among the found, those that came to church were also the lost, who were drawn to that hope that they felt when they came in contact with our community. They were loved. They were accepted. They were welcome to be there. And we became a family. We watched as strangers truly became family. We began to lean on one another. See, God was adding to that family every day as we served him together. I remember one time during the greeting, some of the ladies, some of the single moms that were coming out with their kids would take a little smoke break outside the church. And so on one occasion, Susan went out just to kind of hang out and talk to them a little bit. And one of the ladies, just as honest as could be, she said to Susan, "This is the best bleepity bleep 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 church I have ever been to in my life." Now, she meant it. It was from the bottom of her heart. It may not have come out quite right. As a matter of fact, I thought maybe we should put that endorsement on our website for this new church within the community, although I don't think it would be received quite with the intention that it was given. She meant it. She felt hope. She felt the strength of what it was like to be better together. You see, that's true community, the lost and the found, the broken and the healthy, those that were searching and those that had already found what they needed. The sick and the well, all doing life together, all stronger because of one another. We were so much better together than we ever were on our own. That group of people will always be those that I keep close to my heart and pray for. And it was a wonderful time in our lives. Now, another great example of that kind of community in the Bible we see in the early church. In Acts chapter 2, when we look at verses 42, and then we'll jump down to 47, it says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer." So now, when you devote yourself to anything, it's when you give 100% of yourself to something that you believe in, or you give a significant amount of your time, your resources, your energy to someone or something, a cause that you believe in. And so here we see that the early church devoted themselves with that kind of passion to meet publicly and from house to house, eating meals together, praying with one another. Really, that's the model of what we're doing here at Calvary, that we celebrate together publicly, but we also meet within homes so that as we go through life, that we can go through it with incredible people that are headed in the same direction that we are. And then here's what's incredible. Out of that healthy environment of relationships, the Bible says that the power of God flowed. So we jump down to verse 47, and it says, "Each day the Lord added to their fellowship those that were being saved." So God's power flowed out of community. And listen to this. Even though they weren't focused at the time on just primarily the growth of the church, they were focused on God and loving one another. But the result of those healthy relationships with God and one another was the growth of the church. And so may God help us to see that return. So from these verses, it's clear that if we want to experience the life that God intended for us and maintain that emotional health, that mental health that we all need, especially during times of crisis, we need to be intentional about committing ourselves to building community. You see, this is one of the primary reasons for the church, to gather together in community, to be there for one another. The Bible tells us that that we're to live and walk in faith with one another. It doesn't say to do that alone. It says to do it with one another. In fact, there's 59 references in the New Testament that tell us how to treat one another. And these passages remind us of how much emphasis that the Scripture places on our obligation as Christ followers to love and to care for one another in order to experience the fullness of all that God has planned for us. Now, today, as we look at the modern-day larger church around the world, we see that we've got plenty of room for growth in how we one another. So let's look at some of these one another's that Christ has called each of us to that we see in the New Testament. First one that we see is the command to serve one another. Now, service is defined as the action of helping or doing work for someone other than for yourself. Now, interestingly enough, the definition doesn't say anything about social distancing or masks or vaccine passport, yet that's the alternate reality that we find ourselves living in today. Can I encourage you? Can I encourage you not to lose touch with the call of God on your life? Don't lose touch with the love that God has put in your heart for those that you once served within your church, within your small group, within our community. Don't allow fear to close up your heart and shut you down. Don't let fear win. Listen, you can still serve one another and be safe and smart while you do it. Nobody's asking you to put yourself or your family at risk. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." Serving Jesus means using our gospel freedom to serve those that he loved so much that he laid down his life for. Second thing that we see is to encourage one another. You know, the Bible is filled with men and women who face discouragement on a deep level. I know sometimes we feel like we're the only ones and nobody really understands the kind of discouragement that I'm facing in my life right now, but there have been many come before you and there will be many more after you that experience those moments in their life. But God built into his community, God built into his church a way for each of us to be reminded of what we're to do during difficult times. He hasn't just left us out there on our own. He's given us a way through. And he did this by placing within us the kingdom capacity for compassion, the kingdom capacity for love when it comes to how we encourage one another. Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, "But encourage one another daily." Daily, it says. Encourage one another daily. Sometimes we feel like we're lost at sea, and we feel like the only person that we have to take care of is ourselves, but you need to understand, there's other people in the water with you. There's other people navigating this storm, and they could use your encouragement, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Encourage one another daily. Life is relational. Life is all about connection. But sadly, these are usually the first areas to suffer when we do. God has designed us to one another well within our community, despite the enemy's efforts, all out focused efforts to break it all down. God wants to remind you that you have been put here for a purpose and with a great purpose. The primary one being a reflector of his glory, a reflector of his image to one another. So when you go through struggles, I don't know about you, but when you go through struggles, you want other people to come alongside you to let you know that there's hope ahead, that the bridge isn't out, that there's a way to get through this and over this moment in your life. And see, when you feel that, you have the strength to go on. You and I, we've been called to encourage one another. Listen, seek to treat everyone like they are made in the image of God and that they're worthy of dignity and respect, because they are. Make sure that you consider that when you speak to people. Now, if watching the news every single day is bringing you down and discouraging you, then turn it off. Turn it off. Take a break and instead open up the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying to turn it off and never look at it again. What I am challenging you to do is to guard what you're putting into your life. Guard what you're exposing yourself to and find a better balance. Start focusing on the things which are pure and lovely, as the scripture says. Because if 90% of our time is focused on the fear and terror that surrounds us, you will begin to walk and act and make decisions that are based on that reality. But if you find yourself meditating and being in a peaceful place where your strength comes from the Lord, where in your greatest hour of weakness you lean on Him, then I guarantee you that even when the winds blow and the waves pick up, God will hold you in His hand. Don't let your strong opinions cost you a friend. Number three, love one another. We touched on this a little bit, but at the core of everything God has called us to do here in this church at Calvary is the mission that keeps us all on track. It affects every dollar that's spent, every person that we bring on staff, every ministry, every volunteer. It's the guiding rule in all that we do. Loving God, loving people, while leading them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. It's our love for Him, and as we love Him, our love for others. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect the meeting of the church together." So we're not called to love one another. We're actually called to help motivate others to love one another as we meet together. Remember what Jesus said would be the proof that we were his followers? It wasn't a digital a passport on your phone. It wasn't a card that you carried to say, "Yeah, I'm with the church." No, it wasn't that at all. What was it? John 13:35, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Does your family see that love in you? Do your neighbors? Do your friends? Do the people that you do life with, do they see that love in you? Or do you find yourself warring with the anger or the fear? Allow God, spend time to be with Him and allow Him to grow within you, that He would increase and that all those other feelings and emotions would decrease. And then number four, forgive one another. You see, as Christ followers, if we have been forgiven by God, we have no right to withhold that from other people. In fact, Scripture plainly commands us to forgive in the same way that you and I have been forgiven. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." God commands us to forgive others. It reflects His character. So as His children, we need to mirror that same loving act. He forgives, we forgive, period. That needs to be a part of our nature because it's a part of His. Forgiveness may be costly, but it's so essential to our growth. And then finally, number five, pray for one another. You know, the pandemic has certainly taken its toll on the church worldwide. And sadly, it's led some people to think that they don't need to be a part of a church family anymore. Some said they're getting all they need online and they're okay on their own. And listen, although online has been great and continues to be very helpful in the day that we're living in, it's impossible to one another without one another. Did you hear what I said? You can't do it alone. These are tools that are there to help us, but they're not substitutes to the community that God has called us to. If you look at every metaphor for the church in Scripture, you see that it's all about other people. We're the body of Christ. We're made up of many parts. We're a family of God. We're related as sisters and brothers. The local church is only as healthy as it one another's well. James 5, verse 16 says, confess and acknowledge how you have offended one another and pray for one another to be instantly healed. For tremendous power is released through passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Never, ever underestimate the power of prayer in your life, especially as it relates to those around you. You know what? We can't one another if we're living our lives in isolation. It's an impossibility. Not only that, but we'll suffer unnecessarily when we're experiencing this void in our lives that godly relationships were meant to occupy and fill. You see, when we cut ourselves off from other people, when we close the blinds and shut the world out, it's impossible to one another. It becomes beyond our reach. It's a part of how God has called to or planned to shape us, and we're cutting it off. God has called us to be stronger as we stand together. So let's determine not to miss out on that. Let's determine not to miss out on the richness that deep friendship can offer other people and how much of a strength it can be to us today. We are better together. Let's pray, Calvary. Father, we thank you today for the love that you've placed within our hearts, that we can one another better, more effectively, that together we are so much better than we could ever be on our own. I pray today as a church that we would not allow opinions to rise up above the relationships that you've placed within our lives, that we would share with those that we love the things that we're feeling and going through, but we would not allow those feelings or that fear to separate us. May God help us to commit to one another, to be everything that you've called us to be, to reflect your image, to reflect your glory to this world. And even as you exist in community, I pray that we would be committed to do the same. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I love you, Calvary. God's best to each and every one of you. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to seeing you at 11:30 for our after party if you're here on site. And let's invite someone to church next week as we continue in this series together, either online or on site. We'll see you again soon.